Coming up, the house in Riverside where 13 children were abused was a licensed homeschool. Why there wasn't any oversight? Next on Press Play.
Storm 18 at KCRW. It'll be cloudy this afternoon with highs in the mid-60s to mid-70s, near 80 in some valley areas. There's a 20% chance of showers tomorrow in Santa Barbara. It could start right after midnight. High surf is expected through Saturday from Santa Barbara to San Diego. Right now, 75 degrees in downtown L.A. It's 73 in Thousand Oaks, 67 in San Pedro, and 76 in Tustin.
KCRW sponsors include Schaefer. From red carpet awards season events to intimate beach weddings, Schaefer is committed to bringing their clients' visions to life through food, craft cocktails, service, and design. More at SchaeferLA.com.
This is Press Play. I'm Madeline Brand. One meal a day and a shower just twice a year. The 13 children, some of whom were adults, were rescued from their parents' home in Paris out in the Inland Empire. They were living in horrific conditions, probably for years. Some of the details are really disturbing, so a warning, we'll be talking about that for the next few minutes. The parents, David and Louise Turpin, were charged today with torture, among other things. And here's Riverside District Attorney Mike Hestron at a press conference.
Victims report that as a punishment, starting many years ago, they began to be tied up, first with ropes, and then these defendants eventually began using chains and padlocks. These punishments would last for weeks or even months at a time.
So beyond these shocking details that are coming out now, the story is raising lots of questions about homeschooling here in California. The couple's home was registered with the California Department of Education as a private school. Rachel Coleman is the co-founder and executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, and that's a national organization founded by homeschool alumni. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you're an advocate for homeschooling. In fact, you were homeschooled. What was your reaction when you heard about this situation in Paris?
You know, it's funny because yesterday morning, one of our board members reached out to me and she asked me, she said, why this case? Why is this case getting all this attention? This is exactly what we've seen over and over again. This is not the first time. Why this case? And I think there's a number of reasons for that. But my reaction upon seeing this case wasn't surprise, because these are the same things we've been seeing, these themes. We maintain a database, actually, of cases like this. The food deprivation, the even being tied up, the isolation, this is something that we see in these abusive homeschool situations. We see cases like this every month.
Every month?
Yes, every month across the country. They're just in November, a little boy, 6-year-old boy, homeschooled in Illinois, starved to death.
So what is the commonality here? These are disturbed parents or parents who engage in child abuse and then they use homeschooling as a cover?
The problem is that homeschooling, ultimately, it gives parents power and control. And in the hands of good, well-meaning parents, that can be a great thing. They can create innovative child-centered education environments for their kids. It can be great, but it gives that same power to abusive parents who homeschool. And there isn't any check or balance to try to say, let's make sure that homeschooling is being used well and that the freedom we give parents when we let them homeschool isn't used to isolate those children or abuse those children. What we need safeguards to ensure that homeschooling is in children's best interest, that it is done to create a child-centered education environment, and that it isn't used in ways like the Turpin parents did.
How common is homeschooling? How many kids are homeschooled?
Nationwide, the number is close to 2 million.
About,
yes, 3.3% of children are homeschooled.
And so with that number, fairly large number, 2 million, and what you just said, that there are tales of abuse coming out every month, why isn't there more of a push to have some kind of state regulation or more state regulation?
Most people don't know that there isn't already regulation of homeschooling. I've talked to multiple individuals, reporters in California, who were shocked when they found out that there are no sorts of checks. There's no assessment. There's no requirement that these kids go to the doctor like other kids. There's nothing there. So most people don't know about that. And unless you homeschool, you don't tend to learn what your state's homeschool law is like. But I think largely it's a problem of people not being aware.
Well, what is the situation in California? Can anyone say, I want to start a homeschool and the state says okay?
Yes. All you have to do is fill out an affidavit and file it with the state and you are a legal homeschool. You don't have to show anyone that you're educating. No one checks on the kids. There's no assessment. You're not required to have your kid go to the doctor or be seen by anyone. So there's nothing to prevent a case like this where kids are isolated. And this isn't the only case. There was a boy in Georgia who was kept locked in a bedroom for 4 years. Interestingly, this actually involves Los Angeles. This happened in Georgia, but when the boy turned 18, his parents just wanted to get rid of him. They'd had him locked in a bedroom for 4 years. They put him on a bus to Los Angeles and gave him tickets or pamphlets for homeless shelters in Los Angeles. He was picked up on the streets of Los Angeles by police who thought he was an adolescent. They thought he was about 12, even though he was 18, because he'd been starved for those 4 years. There wasn't anything to say that the parents needed to bring him somewhere for an assessment or a doctor's visit. There was nothing to prevent them from locking in his bedroom for 4 years.
Are there some states who are doing a better job than, let's say, California or Georgia?
Some states do have more oversight. The problem is that when oversight does exist, it tends to be geared towards preventing educational neglect and not towards preventing abusive situations. So, for example, there are states where the kids have to take a standardized test, but the parents are allowed to administer that. And that doesn't ensure that there's contact with a mandatory reporter. So very few states really go out of their way to make sure it's a mandatory reporter who is meeting with the child. Oregon actually has standardized tests required every 3 years. We would like to see that more often, and the option for a portfolio review by a certified teacher for those who don't like standardized testing. But in Oregon, it has to be by a certified teacher who is not a relative. So that's one of the only states that specifies that not a relative, for example. We know of cases where a grandparent who was a certified teacher was coerced into signing off on a child's portfolios because otherwise he was told he could not have contact with his grandchildren. So even the states that have more assessment often aren't really thinking in terms of preventing cases like this.
So what do you recommend? I imagine now that there are some lawmakers who are thinking of introducing bills here in California. What do you think should be in any kind of statewide legislation regarding homeschooling?
Absolutely. So one thing we recommend is an annual assessment by a certified teacher. And this can either be a standardized test or a review of a portfolio of the child's materials that they've been covering that year in the presence of the child. So the idea is to get them in the presence of a mandatory reporter, and also just to ensure that education is taking place. The kids shouldn't be required to meet the exact state standards for their grades for each subject just because homeschooling often follows a more innovative pattern, or parents can accelerate with different subjects in different ways. That flexibility is important, but even parents who are being very flexible in how they're homeschooling should be able to demonstrate that education is taking place, and that gets the kids in front of mandatory reporters. We also recommend requiring doctor visits. There's a couple ways to do this. One way would be to just mandate annual physicals. That technically is what is recommended by the American Academy of Pediatricians, an annual physical. And most insurance or child health insurance programs like CHIP do allow that without any copay. The other way to do it, though, would be to just require that homeschooled students have to meet the same medical standards as kids who attend public school. If the kids in public school have to do a physical before kindergarten, same thing for homeschool students. Vision screenings, dental visits, things like this, and it depends on the state, but most states require these during certain grades, require those of homeschooled students too. And then you're getting them in front of additional mandatory reporters, and also making sure you don't have cases like this where malnourished goes unrecognized for so long.
Yeah, but I imagine that some parents who homeschool they homeschool because they don't agree with state laws in a lot of these areas. They, again, as you have indicated, they don't agree on the testing, and they don't agree on some medical requirements such as vaccines.
We recommend requiring the same sorts of things that responsible homeschooling parents are already doing. So even parents who may have disagreements on vaccines are taking their kids to the doctor. And even parents who may object to testing are keeping records, if they're going about this well, are keeping records of what they're teaching their kids each year's, portfolios of their materials. We recommend finding ways to work with what responsible homeschooling parents are already doing, so that we're not creating an additional burden. We're just protecting additional children.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Rachel Coleman. She's co-founder and executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education.